For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Natalie Powell. North Korea has vowed to retaliate after the United Nations slapped fresh sanctions on them over the weekend. The KCNA news agency described the UN measures as a violent violation of sovereignty, and Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho says there will be strong follow-up measures. William Denslow reports from UN headquarters in New York.
The resolution passed by the United Nations Security Council Saturday aims to slash North Korea's export revenues by one-third. US Ambassador to the UN Nikki Haley calls it the most stringent set of sanctions on any country in a generation. The move is a bid to make North Korea abandon its nuclear and missile program, but Pyongyang insists this won't happen. The United States drafted the UN resolution, and North Korea says the US will pay for its crime thousands of times.
South African MPs will hold a vote of no confidence against the incumbent president Jacob Zuma on Tuesday. The secret vote has been announced by the South African Parliament Speaker after President Zuma was criticised for firing a respected finance minister and several other ministers in a cabinet reshuffle earlier this year. Opposition parties believe ruling ANC members would be more likely to vote against the president in a secret ballot. 15 volunteer firefighters have been arrested by Italian police on suspicion of intentionally starting fires to boost the number of call-outs they were receiving. Our Europe correspondent Jack Parrock reports.
Italian authorities began to suspect the team of firefighters in the Ragusa district of Sicily after they received many more call-outs than other teams. The allegation is that their commander would head out and start a fire, and then either the team or their friends and relatives would call the emergency number. The Italian press reports that the team have confessed. The 15 arrests come as Italy, along with France, Spain, Portugal and much of the Balkans, is engulfed in a heatwave with temperatures well above 40 degrees Celsius. Jack Parrock, Brussels.
US President Donald Trump is again denouncing the ever-expanding investigation into Russian meddling in American politics and ties to Trump insiders. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
In his latest tweet storm, US President Donald Trump denounced the fake news Russian collusion story. But U.S. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who has oversight of the special counsel, confirmed Robert Mueller can investigate any crimes he might discover within the scope of his probe. And the special counsel has continued to beef up his staff with highly experienced attorneys and prosecutors. The ongoing investigation has prompted none too secret forward planning for someone else to run as a Republican candidate in the next presidential election in 2020.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks very much, Natalie. It's hotting up in southern Europe, and my old stomping ground, Spain, is in the grip of a heat wave. No, we've got plenty of listeners in Spain. I hope you're looking after yourself, and I hope you're looking in on your elderly neighbours. Make sure they're running their aircon. Extraordinary temperatures in southern Spain and southern Europe. How you doing? Hope you're well. It's Monday. It is the, what is it? It's the 7th, that's right, the 7th of August 2017. Welcome to your Richie Allen Show.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, the former CIA officer Robert David Steele returns to the program in the second hour. We'll be talking about the Zionist lobby influence in the United States and what he wants to do about it and what he wants to do about U.S. politicians who endorse the outlawing of boycotting Israel. Okay, there's a mounting, growing campaign to prevent people from joining the BDS movement or criticizing Israel in general. Robert David Steele wants to do something about that. We're going to talk to him in the second hour. Timely appearance on this subject today. And the wonderful journalist and presenter Maria Heller joins us live from Arizona in hour one. Great lady is Maria. You know all about her. She hosts the longest running podcast on the internet. It's a terrific listen. She's a great guest. And we'll round up the world's news with Maria this hour as well. We're live on davidicke.com. Do bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. We're on Fab Radio 2 here in Manchester and TuneIn Radio, as well as richieallen.co.uk. Thanks so much for joining me. And as always, your comments are welcome. It's at Richie Allen Show. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Just put a comment and put at Richie Allen Show in it as well, and I'll get it and I'll read it. All good. Before we go anywhere, I don't often get to meet listeners to the programme. You just don't. It's not that sort of thing. Radio is vastly different, of course, in terms of television. But I did meet a lovely man called Adrian today, and he was with his son, James. They're in Chorlton, not a million miles away from Fallowfield. In fact, it's very close to Fallowfield. It's within walking distance. Adrian and James are, well, Adrian, avid reader of David Icke's books, and has been listening to the radio programme since it began, and his young son James was with him. They were cycling and he listens as well. So big shout out to Adrian and James. Thanks for stopping me to say hello today. I really appreciated that. And yesterday afternoon I posted on Facebook a little bit of what I thought was a public service notice. I still think it is, actually, to be honest. I was going about my business yesterday lunchtime here. I'd finished Sunday View. I'd got it on podcast and YouTube and all of that, and I was looking forward to a relaxing afternoon watching cricket and hurling. Tipperary were playing Galway, Tipperary and Galway in the national, well, of course, in the All-Ireland hurling semi-final, and I had a bit of football on as well. All was good, but it got very noisy around the neighbourhood. The incessant sound of drills and saws and banging, and this has been happening a lot on Saturday evenings and Sunday, and a light bulb went off even over my head, and I thought, I wonder, is there some zoning regulation? Is there some, are there guidelines that builders must follow, whether they are tradesmen and women building in a domicile, or if it's the owners of the domicile themselves? Surely there are guidelines. And I had a good look at it anyway online. Tinternet's a good thing sometimes, and I found out that yes, at least in Manchester, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for the rest of the country, these builders must cease building by 1 p.m. on Saturday, and they can't do it on Sundays or bank holidays. They can't. And there are fines for those who flout the law. So I marched. Well, I didn't march because I'm not, you know, I'm not an angry, aggressive guy. My approach is generally pretty pleasant. I went around the corner and there was a guy there, amazingly, he was a young guy, young Asian guy, amazingly. He knew all about David Icke and David Icke's books and the radio show. Spent a few minutes talking with him. And he said, yeah, bang to rights, mate, bang to rights. He said, we shouldn't be doing it. We do it until we get told to stop. And it was the same around the corner. Anyway, noise, incessant noise. I believe that noise plays a big part in, now I know you're going to think, some of you will think, oh, to guys like Richie Allen, everything's a conspiracy. But I think noise plays a big part in delivering the agenda. Can I say that? Do you remember we talked about suggestible? Do you remember we talked about yesterday children being more suggestible when they are tired? Well, so are we. And I think noise that drives you mad and puts you on edge all the time, I think there's something going on there. But anyway, look, letting you know that you don't have to put up with that on Sundays, but you don't also have to, have to be rude to people. Just a quiet word. When are you planning on finishing there, mate? If you don't mind telling me, oh, I'm going to be here all day, son. Well, you shouldn't be. It's Sunday. You're not supposed to be doing it. You know, maybe you might consider not doing it. And following that, you know, if you have to get somebody else involved, you might do that if you have to. But anyway, it was good. And we had a very peaceful Sunday afternoon thereafter. All right, there you go. I didn't know that. Just thought I would go on internet, find out, and anyway. Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, spoke a lot about him on last week's Sunday View. He said today that the 20 men who attacked a military base in Valencia, in the north of the country, he said they were working for anti-government leaders supported by the United States and Colombia. Probably telling the truth. 10 men escaped with weapons from the base. They are being hunted. The men posted a video saying they are rising against the murderous tyranny. Now, the Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn was asked for his thoughts today. He has historically supported Hugo Chavez and, of course, the Bolivarian Revolution. So what did Corbyn say?
I'm very sad that the lives have been lost in Venezuela. The people that have died, either those on the streets or security forces that have been attacked by people on the streets, all of those lives are terrible for the loss of them. There has to be a dialogue and a process that respects the independence of the judiciary and respects the human rights of all. And I think President Macron's call today that there has to be dialogue is a good one, and it should be regionally based to improve the situation there. There has to be respect for the constitution and respect for the independence of the judiciary. What I condemn is the violence that's been done by any side, by all sides in this. Violence is not going to solve the issue. The issues of Venezuela are partly structural because not enough has been done to diversify the economy away from oil. That has to be a priority for the future. But we also have to recognise that there have been effective and serious attempts at reducing poverty in Venezuela, improving literacy and improving the lives of many of the poorest people.
Ah, Jeremy. Jeremy has sold all his beliefs out, hasn't he? For leadership ambitions. You know, when Corbyn got in and this programme took the point of view that Corbyn would renege, he would flip-flop or back down or water down his decades-long held positions on some things. We took a bit of stick for it. We didn't mind. No, you know, debate's a good thing. And we've got thick skins here. But people were outraged that there was some, you know, lack of support for Corbyn here. Now, this programme has never and will never support any politician ever, no matter who they are. But Corbyn has sold all his beliefs out, and those people have gone very quiet now. And I don't say that in a triumphalist way. I'm just making the point that they've gone very quiet. Corbyn, of course, recently backed down on tuition fees and scrapping them, which, of course, humiliated those who believed that he was serious when he said that. Again, I'm not being triumphalist, I'm just making the point. Jeremy Corbyn is just another puppet. North Korea has vowed to retaliate and make the US pay for what the US does. You know that on Saturday, fresh UN sanctions were announced against North Korea over its banned nuclear weapons program. The sanctions were unanimously passed, of course. We talked about this only very briefly yesterday. The North Koreans have said these are a violent violation of our sovereignty. They're going to be hit pretty hard, the North Koreans. Their export revenues will be reduced by a third. At least that's what the aim is anyway, which would hit an impoverished country even further. The North Koreans said they would make the US pay the price for its crime thousands of times, referring to America's role in drafting the UN sanctions resolution. There are a lot of people, we're going to hear from Nigel Farage, who Nigel has been on US television, we'll hear from him in a minute, and he's been decrying the fact that Trump supporters, or at least those who should support Trump in the Republican Party, and the globalists are the reason that Trump hasn't been able to deliver on the things he promised when he was running for president. Now, Nigel, I'm calling bullshit on that one, because Trump didn't have to sign sanctions against the Russians, and he certainly didn't have to go along with sanctions against North Korea. He didn't have to do that. We'll hear from Farage in a minute. Now, Gilad Atzmon, jazz saxophonist and author, Israeli-born friend of ours, wrote this on his website today, gilad.co.uk, and we'll talk about this in general in hour two. But Gilad wrote this. He wrote, "Drummer Will McClure, aged 73, who attended my concert last night, was subject to an attack outside my concert by some anti-Atsman hooligans. He was injured in his eye and suffered a shock. There was a photograph of the gentleman bleeding from one of his eyes. Gilland continues. A week ago, Oxford Albion Beatnik Bookshop, which hosted my concert, received a threatening letter from Stephen Silverman of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. Silverman hinted that something may happen unless the club surrendered to his demand and cancelled the concert. Tonight, we saw the first violent attack against the jazz audience. Will was bleeding from his eye for about an hour. We had a packed room in Oxford. I can assure you they were not impressed. Brits do not like to see their little cosy Oxford turning into a battle zone. If the CAA is genuinely concerned with anti-Semitism, it better go out of its way to make sure that such an event never occurs, because as things stand, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, together with other Jewish organisations such as Judas, are introducing violence and hooliganism to the British arts scene. This is unacceptable and it will not be tolerated. And Gilland finishes by saying, I should mention that the Jewish members of the audience were devastated and embarrassed by it all. They insisted to disassociate themselves from this unfortunate event. The police are involved, finishes Gilad Atzmon. Of course, Jewish men and women want to disassociate themselves from these thugs, these Zionist thugs, these racists, because the vast majority of Jewish men and women whom you meet have no time for these people. These little Hitlers are, they're almost innumerate. They're lucky if there's 10, 12, 15 of them. They are the worst of the worst, encouraging people to commit acts of violence while claiming they exist to prevent acts of violence against Jewish personage. No, they don't. They don't represent anybody. The Jewish man or woman you meet is just as likely to be pissed off by these people as you or anybody else. And we're going to talk more about this in the second hour. This is growing and growing and growing. David has been harassed by these people. Events have had to be rescheduled. Gilad has had it. Gilad has been attacked physically. Now members of the audience are being attacked. These people are slime and they must be stopped. I understand the thug who struck the 73-year-old man, that his car, his registration number has been given to the police. Let's hope the police do their job. Arrest him and charge him. Simple as that. Back to Farage. The former UKIP leader was on US television yesterday. He said that little has changed in the US since Donald Trump was elected. And as I mentioned a minute ago, he laid the blame squarely at the feet of globalists and of those within the Republican Party who should be supporting the Donald. Here's Farage.
The political revolution of 2016 with Brexit and with Trump was people voting for change, real fundamental change. And here we are, you know, in the middle of the following year, and that change isn't happening. We've seen frustrations from the judiciary, and we would expect the liberal media, we would expect opposition parties to try and frustrate Brexit. But what I think is so frustrating on both sides of the pond is there are people who masquerade as conservatives in order to get themselves elected and are now, you know, damaging the attempt for us to get a clean Brexit, stopping the president getting his agenda through Congress. And I think there's something very fundamental at stake here. It is people's faith and belief in the whole democratic process.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, over there, they call them Tories in the Labour Party. Over here, we call them Republicans and Democrats. There's a story on the front page of the newspaper the president calls the failing New York Times this morning, talking about 2020 opponents to the president from Republican senators like Ben Sasse. But add someone like Ben Sasse and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, moderates inside the Senate. They're spending as much time or more resisting this president's efforts as he leads their own party.
Yeah, and I think there must be now growing, real, genuine anger amongst millions of people who turned out to vote for Trump. In many cases, people who had not voted Republican before, or perhaps had never voted in their lives, they engage with the process. They've got a president that is holding faith with them, that wants to carry out the agenda, and yet it's Trump's own side that are stopping these things from happening. And I would have thought that what needs to happen in both the Republican Party here and the Conservative Party back at home home is when it comes to candidate selections, there ought to be a weeding out of those people who are not playing for the same team.
Yeah, deselect those who don't go with the will of the people. That won't work. It's never worked. The system is evil. It needs to be torn down. You can't fix it. You can't. And Donald Trump's agenda for government, his programme for government, hasn't been derailed by the neocons in Washington and hasn't been derailed by the globalists. Trump just reneged on every single promise he made when he was campaigning with such gusto and such fervour and such hysteria last year. Remember, from day one, he wins the presidency. He's got a couple of months before he's inaugurated. He is the president-elect. He's on television. I can't remember whether it was CBS News or whatever it was. And he was asked, are you going to go after the Clinton crime cartel? And he said, they're good people. They're good people. I don't want to hassle them. I don't want to hurt them. Do you remember that? 24 hours. One of the central campaign promises was that he was going to get a special prosecutor to look into the Clintons and to Hillary Clinton and the emails and Benghazi and everything else. So it's not the globalists and the neocons. Dreadful as they are. It's far deeper than that. It's far deeper than that. It's 21 minutes past the hour. It's Monday, the 7th of August, 2017. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com. Back with Maria Heller in a minute.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structure and application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you heard of the potential healing power of CBD and non-psychoactive strain from cannabis? At Indoka, our mission is to show everyone how incredible CBD is. Each month, you can win $1,000 worth of our CBD products, plus everyone who enters will receive a beginner's guide to CBD cannabidiol. Our products are 100% organic, lab-tested, and legal. For your chances of winning and special discounts on our range of CBD products, just visit offers.indoka.com/Richie Allen. That's offers.endoca.com/Richie Allen. Indoka, unlocking the secrets of nature.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
It is indeed, and welcome to it. Tweet at Richie Allen Show between now and the end of the programme. Tell me what you're thinking about these issues being discussed on the programme today. My name is Richie Allen. How are you? Looking forward to this programme. Robert David Steele, former CIA officer, joins me in the second hour. Before that, it's the wonderful Maria Heller. She's standing by in Arizona after this from Pearl Jam. This is Alive.
Sorry.
Pearl Jam alive on the Richie Allen Show, 26 minutes past the hour. Our first guest is well known to you. Great broadcaster, terrific journalist. Go to maria.net, that's M-E-R-I-A.net. Subscribe to her programme, the longest running podcast on the internet. Wonderful woman. Let's welcome back to the show our friend Maria Heller. Maria, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back, Richie.
It's always an honour, and I mean that sincerely. Thanks for doing it. I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump and the former leader of UKIP, Nigel Farage, and comments he made about why Trump can't get his business done. Before that, though, I am mindful of the fact that, like myself, you knew the late, great Jim Mars. In fact, you knew him far longer than I did. Horrible what happened to Jim. It happened so fast as well. You might want to say a few words to our audience, Maria, about the sort of man he was and the legacy that he leaves behind him.
Well, Jim was a great guy. He was a fabulous investigator. He really was the kingpin of bringing out all the lies we were told about the Kennedy assassination. I met him personally for the first time. I had interviewed him before, but when we were both at a 9/11 truth conference in Chicago, and Jim was just great. I mean, there's, you know, you can't say enough about him, but as I was discussing it on another show, you know, people like Jim, myself, whatever, we're all getting up there in years. And once we're all gone, we are the witnesses of what has happened in this country. We lived through it all. And my fear is once we're all gone, you know, with revised history, people will never really know the truth, except, of course, for the body of work we all leave behind.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you know, that's worth a programme on itself. I was with David Icke last week, and he said something similar about the future generations of researchers and whether they'll be there and whether they'll be able to take up that baton. That's a really interesting point. I'd like to take that up again.
Well, I think so too. And then you have to look at, you know, newspapers now talking about running their newspapers and having robots write the news.
Yeah.
So what kind of investigative reporters do you see happening in the future?
Do you know, we could do a whole show on that, and it's something I'd like to do in the near future. Thanks for saying that about Jim, Maria. I appreciate that. Great man.
Now, Jim was fabulous. And, you know, listen, they've been showing his movie Crossfire on Hulu. It's free if you have Hulu. And no matter how many years I've covered the Kennedy assassination, I learned new things watching it.
You're absolutely right. Now, Nigel Farage, who has supported Donald Trump, I suppose Farage believed and still believes in the national non-interventionist policies, well, at least the policies that Trump said that he was in favour of while he was running for president. Farage said that the problem Trump has is that his own people are turning against him. Neocons and globalists are turning against him. But it could be argued that when it comes to things like Russia and signing sanctions against Russia and North Korea, Trump could have just refused to do that. He wasn't coerced by the neocons or even the globalists. What do you say to that and this idea that Trump can't be the man he said he was going to be because he's being obstructed?
First of all, Trump was never the man he said he was.
No.
Second of all, he knew that whether he if he tried to not sign it, they would have overridden his veto. And they made that very clear to him, that it didn't matter whether he signed it or not, they were still going to enforce it. So there he was, you know, the actual first piece of legislation that he actually signed, because everything else is just BS. Executive orders don't mean anything. And he had to sign against his pals in Russia. And now, you know, there's going to be a lot of business repercussion, not just for Trump, but for Putin as well. You know, these people are all so intertwined with each other and hide their monies in each other's countries. And when they can't play ball together, are forced, as Congress has forced this, a lot of heads are going to roll.
Yeah. I've been tweeted by people all through the show as it's live, and I'm hearing from Faisal, who sent me a news clip, which is on YouTube now, which says that it's presumably saying that Trump still, now I don't believe any of this, I'm with you, but that Trump still harbours ambitions to go after Hillary Clinton for the immeasurable crimes committed by Clinton, but that his own Justice Department is, quote, slow-stepping any attempt to prosecute Clinton. I don't buy that. I don't believe there's any desire on the part of Trump to go after Hillary Clinton.
Of course not. They're at each other's weddings. They probably wife swap. I mean, they've been friends forever. You know, Trump and Bill Clinton, you know, they both took the Orgy Express to Epstein's Island and abused young women. I mean, these people have literally been in bed with each other forever. But you also have to look at, we've spent millions and millions of dollars investigating Clinton for how many years? And it came up empty. They closed the investigation. But I think that the Trump and his fans, when things are not going well for him, now that all his illegalities are being exposed, the first thing the go-to is, let's look at Hillary. Let's prosecute Hillary. Truth of the matter is, Hillary's not president. He is. He's the one we need to prosecute.
Paul Craig Roberts said to me on this, on Trump's supporters, his fans, Paul said to me last year, Paul was cautiously optimistic about Trump, as a lot of learned men and women were. You weren't, obviously.
I was very disappointed, and a lot of people.
Yeah, but you know the story. You know the score anyway, full stop. It doesn't matter who gets in. It's never going to change.
Of
you know
course.
That anyway.
Of course. So we always know. We don't know who's going to win, but we know who's going to lose, and it's going to be the people.
Absolutely. However, you and I spoke about this at the time, and I spoke to Paul Roberts about this, that the rage and the anger that saw people support Trump, even though it was misguided, even though it was people who didn't understand the establishment, it was genuine rage and genuine dissatisfaction with the crimes of Hillary and you know, the cabal and all of that. Paul thought at the time that if Trump did turn out to be what you and I knew he would be, and David Icke and others, Paul said that there might be blood on the streets. People might be so absolutely pissed off by maybe just all of a sudden realising that yet again they were had, but this time on a massive scale, when he didn't go after Hillary. Paul said there might be blood in the streets, there might be revolution. There's no sign of it, is there?
Oh, yes, there's already signs of it. You had a Fox reporter this week said that if Trump gets indicted, there'll be blood in the streets. She literally said that. Then you have an ex-Navy SEAL who happens to be a Trump fan, who says if Trump gets indicted, there's going to be a war on everybody that was against Trump. And then, yet that guy didn't get arrested. Trump intimated the similar thing at a speech he gave last week, where he kind of hinted at inciting violence if he gets incited. So this could have been a goal all along, because Richie, as you and I know and David knows, you know, when you look at the Protocols of Zion, when you look at the Freemasons and their goals from hundreds of years ago, they wanted two civil wars, and they never lose sight of their target. So I believe they're using media and everything else to push for a civil war.
And the media are doing their part, I suppose, aren't they? So how much of...
They just whip it up, you know. I mean, I just did an hour and a half of news that you don't hear or see on the media. I mean, important stories, you know, it's not just all about Trump. But, you know, the media is responsible. I'm not going to say they're fake news, because to me, everything that comes out of Trump's mouth, the government, the media, TV, has always been lies. But I think people are becoming more aware of it. But you're right when you said at the beginning that his own base is turning on him. He's losing a lot in his base, but he's got his own political party turning on him.
58,000 people homeless in Los Angeles alone, and one in four kids going to bed hungry every night, depending on where you are in the country. You know, when I look at Trump, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about over the last few months, I don't think I've ever mentioned it to you, I think it's beginning to look to me like all of this drama that we watch every day, all the stories about Russia and the tweet lunacy that Trump carries on with on a daily basis and the way that's reported, it looks to me like they've gathered together some very, very good screen writers, some very good screenplay writers. And what they're presenting to the American people day in, day out, is some sort of live soap opera. And I mean that literally. I'm not, you know, using an analogy. But this is all carefully scripted. And what it I think it serves two things. One, like you said, to get people more and more and more angry. But also, it serves to keep people engaged with the political process. I suppose, Maria, their biggest fear is that people eventually realise that they can't ever change anything through politics. Do you see elements of that? I mean, we see it whenever there's a terrorist incident.
Yes, I tell people all the time on my show, we're living in the ultimate reality show.
The Truman
Show. Staged. Everything is a staged performance. You have the attorney general says one thing, the deputy attorney general opposes it. It's like if you wait 5 minutes, Trump's taking a stand on transsexuals in the military. In the next 5 minutes, that story's gone. I think it's all distraction, deliberate, not just to divide and conquer, but also to take us away from the Russian investigation. I think the most terrifying part of this investigation isn't whether or not Russia literally took over our voting machines, which we know the GOP has taken over a long time ago, but the fact that so many of them are going to be exposed on their financial ties with Russia, with big oil. And that's why Trump is so afraid and so threatening and menacing about getting his tax returns made public, which he promised throughout the whole campaign.
He's ripe for assassination, isn't he, Trump?
Well, yeah, except as I've told my listeners, this will be the one assassination I won't investigate.
I know you don't mean that. I know you're not violent. Listen,
it's not about violence. I'm not threatening the assassination.
No, I know you're not. No, but I know you don't tolerate violence either.
I see so many similarities, Richie, between Trump and JFK. Trump has made enemies of everyone, from the Secret Service to the FBI to international countries to the UN. I mean, who hasn't he insulted? And, you know, it was the same situation when Kennedy was murdered. There were so many players that you could never tell the truth or be certain who actually killed him.
Yeah.
And look at all these years. Look at Jim Marr's work. Okay, all these years, and we still are taking our best guess. And I think the same obfuscation is being set up with Trump. And I don't want to do the work. I really don't care because people really don't appreciate the work. You know, I look at all the send-offs for Jim Marrs, for Dave McGowan, for so many great people that I've had on my show through the years. But yet, when those people were alive and out there in your face telling you what's going on, you know, they weren't able to buy groceries. They weren't able to pay their rent. Don't appreciate people like this when they're dead, okay? We need your support while we're alive, as I'm sure you agree, Richie.
I do. Yeah, I do. And I just want to, I do, and we can talk about that. On the Trump thing, of course, I know what you're saying. Trump isn't any, he's not JFK. He's not a great savior of democracy. He's not a great guy at all. He's a stooge. He was selected because he's chaotic and he causes chaos and he's reinvested people in the political process. But to further their own agenda, to keep this puppet show going and to keep the ratings high, he's ripe for assassination. And I think, yes, you're right. He's insulted people. He's not doing any harm to anybody. He's not causing any...
No, but who hasn't he threatened, even in a tweet? You know, he's the world's biggest bully and at the same time, the world's biggest crybaby.
But it's empty rhetoric, isn't it? It's all empty rhetoric with Trump. Trump
right,
is just an idiot.
You know what? You'll never know. We'll never know who's going to do it. That's my thought. And the truth of the matter is, I'm so disgusted with what he's already doing. You know, outside of the puppet show, you look behind the scenes, you know, wants to drill on public land, national parks, federal land. He wants to frack. We already have a glut of oil in this country. You know, he wants to reverse civil rights. He wants to reverse, he's already managed to, one state, believe it or not, Richie, has just reduced minimum wage from $10 to $7.70. I mean, he's loading the courts with conservative judges, all right? He's made 55 nominations already. Nobody's paying attention to that. Republicans want biblical law in this country, and they're quietly putting the right people in place for it.
He's eroding democracy. He's rolling civil liberties back years and years. We see that. And it isn't getting any attention because the scripted drama that we've described there, that's what's on people's television screens. That's what they're interested in. So he's a, he's basically the Rothschild Zionist wet dream, isn't he, Trump?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you listen, I always thought, too, from the beginning, and I might not, I might be proven right, that they probably wanted Pence as president.
Absolutely.
But they knew no one would vote for him because he destroyed his own state and he's a lunatic. He's an idiot. He's a dangerous fake Christian. And I think that, you know, putting him on the ticket with him, even though Pence is trying to deny he's raising money to run for off to be president, if something were to go down with Trump, no matter how they take him out, you know, whether it's legally or however, well, then they get their man in office. And, you know, that's been a goal of the Dominionist since I started my show. Richie, one of the first shows I ever did 20 years ago was Dominionism and how they want to bring biblical law into the United States, actually replace the Constitution with biblical law. And every year I see them getting closer and closer to that as they you know, stop women's rights, rights to abortion, reproductive rights, minority rights. You could see, you know, it's only the Catholics or, you know, the Christians that get protected. We had a mosque bomb 2 days ago in, I think, Minnesota. No comment from the president. So you look at, these people are still on target. Whether you want to go back to the Protocols of Zion, whether you want to look at Dominionism, whether you want to look at how the laws are changing, they're even teaching the Bible now in school, Richie, in certain states.
Creationism, right?
Right. So, you know, you got to give these people credit. They never lose sight of their goal. They stay on target even if it takes them 100, 200 years. They don't care.
And what Trump does as well, and he serves so many agendas, and one or two listeners typically jumped in with both feet on Twitter and didn't hear the rest of what you were saying. Maria wasn't in any way saying that Trump was a virtuous JFK and that's why he had so many enemies. Far from it. She wasn't. I think you've understood that now.
No, I was just trying to point out that he had so many enemies, and I still believe, as a lot of 9/11 truthers do, and I'm sure Jim Mars too would agree, the same people that killed Kennedy were behind 9/11 and are still in charge.
Of course they are. There's no doubt about that. The great Maria Heller is on the line. It's exactly 16 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Check out Maria, M-E-R-I-A dot net. We'll put links to it on Twitter, of course. Great broadcaster and fearless investigative journalist. Is Maria. Lucky enough to know her for a few years now, and she's making her program for more years than she probably cares to remember. The longest running program.
This is my 18th online. 18th online together. If I count regular radio.
We look at Trump. We look back to the bizarre circumstances surrounding some of the business deals that he did. The many loans. The many times he went bust. The loans kept coming from the big banks. He was part of the social cleansing of Manhattan, the gentrification. Is Trump under some sort of mind control, do you think?
Well, you know, some people have told me that this is a clone we're dealing with. I don't know about that. Somebody said that the real Trump died a while ago. Is he under some kind of mind control? No, I don't think so, because he can't even control his own mind. I think that he's got some serious physical illnesses. I think that he's got all the signs of dementia. And then add that to his narcissistic everybody loves me personality and having the intelligence and the personality of maybe a five-year-old kid, I don't think he's being mind-controlled at all. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen,
it's just a question.
You know, watching Trump since the 70s, he knows exactly what he's doing, even when he acts like he doesn't sometimes.
Yeah, and I look at the NBC program, The Apprentice, and I remember when that aired, because when it aired in the US, the rights were sold to the BBC. The BBC did two things. First of all, it aired the Donald Trump Apprentice, and then it got its own version of The Apprentice. There are many of them around the world, but we saw the American one. And now when I look back on it, It's clear to me, without having any proof, I have no proof, but it's still very clear to me, that program was central to preparing Trump for the presidency by those who control him, whether he's mind controlled or not. He was set up. That was a massively, massive success, that show, and everything that went with it. And it came along at the right time when social media was becoming huge, Twitter and Facebook. And it made this guy who was very well known, it made him into a superstar of television. It did, whether we like to admit it or not. And I think you can link that back.
I've got to admit this to you, Richie. I never once saw the show.
Did you not? It was a very entertaining program.
I was so repulsed by Trump my entire life that why would I waste time watching a show? The only thing I know that came out of that show is his famous, "You're fired."
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to see when somebody says that to him.
And you could see a situation, and again, I mean, I don't want it to happen, no more than you or anybody else wants anybody to be murdered. But you can see a situation where this guy who spends a lot of time playing golf, somebody comes running out of the woods on the 17th tee or the 17th fairway and shoots him, and it's blamed on some nut job who was a big supporter of Trump, and he feels absolutely aggrieved that Trump hasn't delivered on his promises. And then, of course, Mike Pence gets sworn in, but of course, ratings go through the roof. Everybody's all the more engaged in the process, and you might get violence on the streets as well by those people who still love Trump. And of course, the agenda wants to see the revolution on the streets. So it is a possibility, if not a probability.
Well, look at where he's at right now. He's at his golf course in New Jersey. He's going to be there for 17 days playing golf. You know, if he really was playing golf, he wouldn't be driving around in a golf cart because he could certainly use the exercise. But he dismissed the Secret Service. He will not allow them on the property. The only way the Secret Service can protect him there is they're using an aerial drone. Now, it's very interesting because a couple of hours after Trump landed in New Jersey, a big-time Russian banker also landed in New Jersey. So, you know, people are assuming here that he didn't want the Secret Service on the property because he doesn't want to know who's coming and going. He didn't want any witnesses to what he's doing there for 17 days.
So he's employing a private security firm all the time then? Because he's powerful.
Well, he kicked the Secret Service out of Trump Towers because the Secret Service, probably because they've been following social media, realized that Trump was overcharging them rent to be in the apartment underneath his in Trump Towers. And when they tried to renegotiate their lease, they told them to get out. So the Secret Service is in a trailer on a side street in Manhattan, protecting supposedly
this is comedy. Maria, that is scripted comedy. That is straight from the pen.
I can't help laughing. I mean, I can't help it.
That is comedy.
This is crazy stuff.
Yeah, because it's scripted. Trump is not coming up with this. This is scripted stuff to keep people talking every minute of every day about the lunacy of the farce. It's almost Monty Python-esque what's going on. I'm convinced of it.
And the sad thing is so many doctors around the country are reporting the level of stress and almost psychosis of Americans under this presidency. They said they've never seen so many people so mentally disturbed after an election like they are seeing now.
Maria Heller is on the line. I want to segue into something for the last few minutes. Maria, great to have you back on the program. Go to maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Wonderful broadcaster and journalist. And I mean that. She's top class. Is our Maria. Jen is in California. How you doing, Jen? A good friend of the programs, regular listener. Richie, ask Maria what she meant about Bush vacationing in August before 9/11. I mentioned something on Facebook yesterday. It occurred to me that when politicians go into recess, and they do it at the same time all over the world, they all take their holidays in August. We don't see any terrorist attacks because they're not in place to do their thing for the camera. So if a terrorist attack occurs, you're not going to get as much mileage out of it, is my silly idea. Maybe it isn't so silly. You mentioned about Bush vacationing in August before 9/11. Jen says, ask Maria to elaborate on that.
Well, it's very simple. First of all, Bush was one of the first presidents to take so many days off, although I'm sure Trump's already surpassed that. Trump's already taken more vacation days now than Obama did, all 8 years total. But when I said, remember that, because I did post that because, you know, I got a good memory, Richie. In August of 2001, Bush was on his ranch in Crawford, Texas for the month. He was like Trump. He was on a working vacation. That was when Condoleezza, or as I call it, Condoleezza Rice, handed him the white paper that took us years to get shown in court that specifically said Bin Laden determined to strike the U.S. may use airplanes. Trump kept on weeding his garden, Bush, totally ignored it, and I'm sure deliberately. And less than a month later, we had 9/11. Now here we have a same scenario. You know, we got the same type of lunatic, except worse than Bush, who's been on vacation most of his presidency, who's pissed off the world. And now he's on vacation pretty much for the whole month of August. And you know 9/11 is a number the Illuminati like to use for events like they do 7/7 and so many others.
Yeah.
So my thought is all we do for a false flag to legitimize his presidency, because without 9/11, Bush's presidency would never have been legitimized, because September 12th was the day they were going to announce the numbers of the recount that the newspaper consortium had put together after going down to Florida for the recount, because the Supreme Court stopped the recount originally. So 9/11 legitimized Bush. A false flag inside job would legitimize Trump.
The only thing is on that, just to be the devil's advocate, right?
Sure.
The only thing on that is he has flip-flopped on every single foreign policy position that he had, every single one of them. He was going to have a different approach to Syria. He was going to be different. He hasn't. Wow. His approach to Syria is worse than the Obama approach to Syria. His approach right. to everything. So, listen, if there had been an ounce of genuine, if Trump had one genuine bone in his body, I think you're absolutely right to change the course of his presidency. I think, yeah, there would have been a major attack. But they don't need to do anything to change Trump's mind on these issues. Like I said, he's basically designed
a threat. But he needs something. Every day he puts something out there to distract from the Russian investigation, especially on his finances. So I wouldn't put anything past him and the people behind him, because every day I get more and more stories showing that pretty much everybody in this administration and the GOP has taken money from Russia. And they don't want that truth to get out there. So anything is possible. Listen, I'm certainly not wanting another 9/11. But, you know, my memory goes back and it makes all these connections. You know, where was Bush? Oh, this sounds like a similar thing. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, astrologically, and I know a lot of people think astrology is stupid, this is one of the worst months astrologically for the United States in 100 years. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything fits together.
So it could be this month.
Could very well be.
It could very well be this month.
Don't discount their favorite numbers, because they like to use numerology just like anybody else does.
You'll be back on the show very soon, Maria. We'll get you back on before too long into the fall. Thanks for coming back on with me today. I appreciate that. Folks, Maria's website
thanks.
Is Maria, MERIA.net. Subscribe to her podcast. I recommend it. I listen to it as often as I can, which is 2 or 3 times a week. Great lady. And thanks for sharing your time with us, Maria. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure, Richie. Anytime.
Look after yourself. Bye for now. The great Maria Heller live on the line with us from Arizona today. Great broadcaster, great journalist as well. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? If something were to happen this month or next month. Well, we know, of course, that ultimately we are going to see more of these staged events where people genuinely do die. We know we are going to see that. And by staged, it doesn't necessarily have to be complete fiction. It can be the bizarre scenario we saw here in Manchester, where Abedi, Salman Abedi, I think, with no evidence now, only a lot of circumstantial evidence because of his father's involvement with MI6, Ramadan Abedi. But Salman Abedi, who blew up the Manchester Arena, had to be allowed to do what he did. Because of what we learned, British intelligence knew who he was and probably knew he was going to do something, but turned a blind eye to it. That's my opinion on what happened in Manchester. So it doesn't have to be staged or a hoax. A lot of people think everything is a hoax. They're not all hoaxes. Things do happen. But that's what's, you know, going on. And we will see more of these things allowed happen in the near future, because when they do happen, the agenda apologists come out and they say, right, we need to crack down on the internet. Right, we need to crack down on freedom of movement. Right, we need to crack down on what people are allowed to say publicly. So I think Maria might be onto something there. It's exactly 3.5 minutes to the top of the hour. This is Monday's Richie Allen Show, live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio. Keep your tweets coming in. I'll get to some of them now in a minute. That is after I take a very quick break. Yes, your tweets next. And don't forget, Robert Steele joins me live in the second hour.
Have you heard of the potential healing power of CBD and non-psychoactive strain from cannabis? At Indoka, our mission is to show everyone how incredible CBD is. Each month, you can win $1,000 worth of our CBD products, plus everyone who enters will receive a beginner's guide to CBD cannabidiol. Our products are 100% organic, lab-tested and legal. For your chances of winning and special discounts on our range of CBD products, just visit offers.indoka.com/Richie Allen. That's offers.endoca.com/Richie Allen. Indoka, unlocking the secrets of nature.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Richie Allen.
Welcome back. Thanks for the tweets. It's Monday. Got some really good guests coming up later on this week. Tina Louise Rothery is back on the programme. The wonderful Stephen Lendman will be live from Chicago later on in the week. Couldn't say that when I was younger, Chicago. Couldn't say it. Chicago it was, apparently. Couldn't say Chicago. Wonderful guy he is as well. To keep updated with who is coming on our programme and what we'll be talking about, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/The Richie Allen Show. facebook.com/The Richie Allen Show. Right? Or follow us on Twitter, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter as well. Lots going on. Just after the top of the hour, Robert David Steele tells me that he will join me presently, and we're going to talk. We have a lot to get through with Robert. Looking forward to that. So your tweets then, number of you, still hanging on to the idea that Trump is genuine. He can't be, in my opinion. And I'm not the Lord and Master of the universe. I certainly don't know everything, but he can't be. He is the Zionist wet dream. I know I said that already. I'm only repeating myself, but he is. And he serves the agenda as much or more than any other president that came before him, in my opinion. Hi to Cathy O'Grady. How you doing, Cathy? Nice to know you're listening. Hello to Natalie. Natalie, how are you? Hope all is well there. Chris McGee, how you doing, Chris? Angela, Rich Mortimer, Charlotte, how you doing, Charlotte? Robin Young as well. Loads of people tweeting. To see what other people are tweeting, go to twitter.com and just put Richie Allen Show where it says search Twitter. No spaces, all one word, Richie Allen Show. Press enter and you'll see what people are tweeting to me there. Hi to Karen Kelly. How you doing, Karen? And to Gojira FX. How are you doing, mate? Thanks for listening to the programme today. Really good stuff. Right, time for some music. And hopefully Robert David Steele will be on the line when we come back from the music. And he's a top man, as Robert. He's not been on for a while. We're going to talk about the Zionist influence in the United States and what he wants to do about it. What he wants to do about it. And who he's involving in his plans. Fascinating stuff on your Richie Allen Show. On davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio. It's exactly 2 minutes past the hour. It is Monday, August 7th. You wouldn't know it's August. Another miserable day weather-wise here in Manchester. This is Queen. Back in a minute.
My only friend through teenage night, and everything
Live Aid. I remember watching Live Aid in 1985. I remember watching it. I was 10 years old. And it was boring as arse holes. It was as boring as arse, Live Aid, until Freddie Mercury, Brian May, Roger Taylor and John Deacon did 20 minutes of absolute magic and got the crowd involved. Later on, U2, or maybe just before Queen, U2 did a fairly decent set as well, but largely Live Aid was pretty shite, at least as far as I remember it anyway. I want to say happy birthday to Mwinga Muntanga, who's just told me that it's his birthday today. Give me a shout out, he said. And I said, of course. That's Mwinga Muntanga. I hope I pronounced that properly, my friend. There's a nice picture on your Twitter profile of a beach and sand, but I don't know where that is. But happy birthday. I hope you've had a good birthday today. Many happy returns and many more of them. Just waiting for Robert David Steele to connect. It shouldn't be too much longer. He's travelling, is Robert, at the moment, but he is in an area where he will be able to do the conversation, have the conversation with us. So I'm just waiting for him to connect. Let's hope it's not going to be one of those Mondays, which you get every now and then. What is it about that? Murphy's Law, Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Why are things more likely to go? I think one of those programmes, one of those Discovery Channel programmes, using a set of statistics going back years, were able to prove that things do go wrong more often on a Monday than they would during other days of the week. Why is that? I know what it is. It's some sort of mental thing, isn't it? Some sort of mental thing. Because if you, well, first of all, you're most people, because if you work in a job that you don't want to do, and sadly, can I say most of us? Now, I obviously enjoy what it is I do, and I look forward to it immensely. And I don't ever remember getting up to do the research for this programme on a Monday and feeling like I didn't want to be there. I've never had that. But of course, through my life, I've had jobs, and there have been times when I was gutted to be getting up to do the job. Most days, but particularly on Mondays. So is there something going on because of that already negative thing? That already negative thing of you don't want to be there and you're fed up and you're tired anyway after your weekend exertions, that you bring some sort of mental power to bear. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You hate Mondays, you don't want to be there, so things go wrong anyway. I'm not waffling. I'm interested in that. You know, there was a detailed survey that said you're more likely to have a bad day on Sunday. Jen C, Jen Crosby, says, I know that Robert and Cynthia McKinney have been super busy getting their rig set to go. It's exciting stuff. I've seen the pictures. Robert emailed me today with the pictures. And we're going to be, if he does come on the programme today, I've got to oil this chair as well, don't I? Jesus wept. He's going to come on, if he comes on today, and he's booked on, and it might be a few minutes, but we'll get him on. If not, we'll get him on tomorrow, but I'm sure he'll be on today. He's booked in today. I've seen a picture of the bus. They're going after those who've done a very unconstitutional thing. And the very unconstitutional thing is, of course, to support the banning of people who want to support the BDS movement. Okay? There's a new bill to make it a felony to criticise Israel or to call for a boycott of Israeli produce. There really is a new bill. And Cynthia McKinney and Robert David Steele want to approach, first of all, the members that didn't co-sponsor the bill. So those are good people. And then they want to go after those who did. These are tyrannical times. When you have the proposition of a bill to make it a felony to criticise the behaviour of a foreign state, when will people wake up to what's going on? When will people wake up to what happened to Gilad Atzmon in Oxford the other night? A man can be beaten up, a 73-year-old man sitting in an audience watching a gig can be beaten up and can bleed from his eye for an hour. When thugs working for Zionist groups who claim to be against anti-Semitism can phone venues and threaten the livelihoods of the people who own the venues. But not only threaten the livelihoods, but to strongly suggest to the venues. By the way, if you don't cancel this, there's going to be trouble, you know. Who are these thugs? These cowards? Channeling my inner Gerald Celente now. And I mean it. Who are these vermin? This scum that can threaten a venue that there will be violence if you don't cancel. The venue doesn't cancel anyway. And surprise, surprise, some scumbag claiming to be Antifa walks into a place and punches an old man in the eye. Where's this going? Who's going to stand up against this? I think David said on davidicke.com today on the headlines page, where are the police? Where are the British newspapers on this? Where are the newspapers condemning this? The newspapers are owned lock, stock and barrel by many of those same people who allow these thugs get away with their behaviour. I'm talking about the thugs who turned up at that venue in Oxford and started punching people. I'm not saying those thugs had anything to do necessarily with the Zionist groups. There's no evidence. But the Zionist groups are writing letters to people telling them there's going to be trouble. Even Inspector Clouseau might go around to some of these Zionist groups' headquarters, not that there's many of these people, knock on their doors and say, excuse me, we just thought we'd ask you a few questions, seeing as you have been telling people that violence is an inevitability if the venues don't cancel, and the venues didn't cancel, so there was violence. We have a few questions for you. Maybe you'd like to come down to the station with us. These are unbelievable times, folks. You know, they are unbelievable times. This programme, it's a programme. And it's a platform for the men and women who come on. We've never had to put up with any of that. Never. There's never been any sense of us having to deal with that sort of crap. You know, over the 3 years nearly that we've been on air, only on occasion do we have a little technical glitch. It's never been down to anybody trying to make life difficult for us. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what it's like. At TPV, we had to bring in Scotland Yard cybercrime unit because denial of service attacks against us were huge. And I'll tell you this, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but when we were at TPV, we found out that the denial of service attacks were military in scale. Military in terms of their scale. And I remember David speaking with one of these detectives from the cybercrime unit from Scotland Yard, and he said, this stuff is above our pay grade. So somebody didn't want the people's voice on air and the programmes we were doing, and were able to do that. I never experienced any of that. I've never experienced it here, and I don't think I ever will. But when people are putting on jazz concerts, brilliant musicians, and thugs claiming to be anti-fascists, who have been foredicted, who have been prophesied by so-called anti-racist groups like the Zionists that we just mentioned. There's something very seriously wrong going on here. And it's an absolute indictment on the media in this country that nobody will cover it. And press releases were sent out to all of the media organisations in this country. Do you know that people are being beaten up in Oxford at gigs because of their opinions? Where are the media in this country? 16 minutes past the hour. I've texted Robert and I've dropped him a message, but still no sign of him. We'll give him a few more minutes, and failing that, we'll move on. Big shout out to Hayden Hewitt, by the way, my friend and colleague here in Manchester, the co-founder of Live Leak and the presenter of The Live Leak Show. He heard me mentioning him on Sunday View yesterday. Always give him a mention. Terrific programme that. Opinions expressed on his programme that would differ from mine. That's important. Listen to other people's opinions. Great guy. Check out liveleak.com. It's every Thursday at 10 p.m. British Summer Time. This is Morrissey and a song called Certain People I Know. Certain people I know. That is an album called Your Arsenal. I think it was 1991. I can be corrected. I don't mind being corrected. And the song is Certain People I Know from Morrissey on the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. No sign just yet of Robert. We'll give him a few more minutes, and failing that, you're just going to have to spend some time in my company. That's what it's going to be, and there's nothing you can do about it. Lovely stuff. I get some funny emails from people, you know. People who, they listen to programmes. And when you listen to radio, and I'm not going to repeat things I've said before, because I would be boring if I did that, and maybe I'm boring enough. But radio played a huge part in my life as a young boy. I had a very difficult time growing up. Again, I'm not going to tell you much about that, because I've told you about that before. But one of the escapes I had was radio. And I used to listen to radio presenters in the evening. Music shows mostly. There wasn't much talk radio in the evening in Ireland when I was a youngster. It was mostly music programmes. But I came to like certain presenters, and you know, you basically swear allegiance to those presenters without ever swearing allegiance. You love their programmes and you make sure you hear them all the time, and I became very fond of radio. And you imagine things about people. I sometimes get emails from people here who imagine that the scope and scale and popularity of the Richie Allen Show is vastly bigger than it actually is. Because I had an email from somebody recently, a lovely email from a woman called Jane. And Jane is in the Scilly Isles. The Scilly Isles. How you doing, Jane? And showed me this lovely email saying, why didn't somebody like David, first of all, and then somebody like me get elected to Parliament? It was a lovely email, and we do irony. We understand irony. So I knew she wasn't being ironic, and I knew it wasn't just a bit of a jape. She meant it. She thought, why doesn't David stand for Parliament on the Isle of Wight? Because there is one MP returned to Parliament every year. Now, I didn't know there was one. I thought there was two, but David told me as he was whizzing me around the island sightseeing last week. I wasn't down there for a holiday either, by the way. I was doing some work while I was there. But we're whizzing around the island. David was telling me this and that and the other thing. But there's one MP. And Jane on the Scilly Isles said, Richie, David should become an MP and you should run in Manchester. I thought, Christ. We have a few listeners, but nothing on the scale of something like InfoWars or even beyond that you could even begin to imagine. Number one, that you could win a seat in Parliament and to go about doing it. And of course, secondly, I don't speak for David, of course. I think in this case, I probably can speak for him. He wouldn't do it. I wouldn't take the job in a million years. First of all, you must swear allegiance to the Crown before being allowed to take your seat in Parliament or taking part in debates. This is why the Sinn Féin MPs who win seats in Northern Ireland, they win their seats, but they don't take their seats because you have to swear allegiance to the Queen. Now, I don't know how popular David is on the Isle of Wight in terms of, when I say popular, how well liked he is or isn't. When I'm with him, or when I was with him on the Isle of Wight on two occasions, when we bumped into people, they knew him, obviously, and they were very cheery when they met him. Oh, how are you, David? Whether or not that would translate to, we'll vote for the Lizard King or not, is another thing entirely. Now, of course, he's not the Lizard King, but sadly, that's how some of these people would see him. So, no, it's never going to happen. Number one, getting elected. Number two, swearing allegiance to the Crown in order that he could then take his seat in Parliament. Have I fantasised about it? Yeah, there would be carnage, I suppose. There would be chaos within the chamber if something like that was to happen. But two things. No, he would never do it. And I certainly wouldn't have the profile, number one. But even if I did, there isn't a snowball's chance in hell that I would swear allegiance to the Crown. And we touched on this in recent programmes as well. You know, about the reality of who they are serving within that house. They're not serving you. Many years ago, when I was working in commercial radio, I met people who were interested in David's books. I thought they were all crazy. I thought they were all a few loaves short of a picnic or a few baskets short of a picnic or whatever. A few loaves short of a baker's dozen or whatever. And they would say things like, they're not working for you when they get up in the morning. They swear allegiance to the Crown. That's what they do. And they can't participate in the House unless they swear allegiance above all, first and foremost, to the Queen and swear to remain a loyal subject. That isn't ceremonial. That's factual. That's real. Jean Anne, my friend in Ireland, tells me Jim Callaghan, or Jim Callaghan, as they call him over here, Jim Callaghan was PM, and he was basically Irish, says Jean Anne. He was PM for a few years, wasn't he? He sure was, but he swore allegiance to Her Madge. Got a couple of emails about the Diana documentary on Channel 4 last night. It was mentioned and referenced on davidicke.com today. I did watch it. The future Mrs. Allen and I happened upon it by chance. I had heard last week that the documentary was going ahead, but I'd forgotten all about it. It doesn't interest me that much anyway. But last night we were flicking around and it was just beginning. And I don't know. David knows a lot about Diana because David met personal friends of Diana who spoke very candidly to David about what they believed had happened to Diana. I never had any time for Diana. And that used to get me into trouble in Spain. When I used to do this programme in Spain, when I began to talk about these issues, obviously the majority of the audience was British expats and they loved Diana. A lot of Irish women loved Diana. Loved her, found her graceful, found her beautiful, found her very feminine, found her very much... they found her compassionate, didn't they? They believed that. I never believed it. What did I believe then? Did I believe that she was a horrible old cow? No, I didn't. But I didn't buy into all of that. David did an amazing piece during one of his live talks, which is available on David's YouTube channel, about the ritual sacrificing of Diana. It's a brilliant bit of video. And you can see it at David Icke. .com or go to David Icke on YouTube. And I can't argue with any of that. Yeah, she was ritualistically ritualistically murdered. I've no doubt about it. The circumstances around it were absolutely bizarre. Noel Botham, rest in peace, the great former war correspondent for The Telegraph, has been on my programmes. I've interviewed Noel, amazing guy. Alan Power's been on, amazing guy. But I didn't get that Diana was kind of a threat to the establishment. And I know you'll argue with me. I know you're going to be screaming at the radio now. But in this, she came across in these candid videotapes. She came across in these candid videotapes where I think it was her voice coach wanted. I think her voice coach filmed these little snippets and put them out there. She came across as somebody who, dare I say, was a little bit fond of herself and a little bit fond of her place in the world and a little bit fond of the fact that she had this loyal following from the public and she wanted to believe that she was a threat to the establishment. And nobody has ever been able to explain to me how Diana was a threat to the establishment. I mean, it's not like she was... I mean, now I don't believe these people are lying. I believe they are being honest. But people who knew Diana have told David, and David might be listening to this, and if I'm wrong, he might correct me, but I believe that Diana had very grave misgivings about Jimmy Savile and who Jimmy Savile was and what he was really doing. Now, her husband, her former husband, was undoubtedly... Is that Robert Steele coming back to me? He says that... Hang on a second. He's got problems. Apologies, Rich. I can do it for you in 15 minutes, he says. The RV is in the repair shop at the moment. Lovely of him to come back. I'll send him a nice text to say no problems. But 15 minutes time, we're going to be going off the air, so we'll have to reschedule. No problems. We'll have to reschedule. As I was saying anyway, David was told reliably that Diana understood Savile was not who he seemed to be. Now, her husband was Savile's best friend. Self-acclaimed best friend of Savile. So I don't doubt that Diana had very, very sinister feelings. I'm sure Savile gave off the most disgusting energy. I don't know, I never met him. Like every other child in Ireland and in the UK, we dreamed of going on his programme. Dear Jim, please fix it for me to meet Brian Robson, the captain of the Manchester United team. Dear Jim, please fix it for me to meet Madonna or, you know, whoever it was, or to go dancing with Michael Jackson, whatever. But I never met him, so I have no idea. I'm sure she did. But she never said anything. There's one thing to be a threat to the establishment, but she never said anything. So that's how I feel about Diana. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Nothing funny about her death at all, but the circumstances of her death are so laughable in terms of they are so obviously contrived that, again, it highlights the pathetic media we have in this country. And apart from the Express newspaper and apart from Keith Allen, who I've interviewed before, the comedian and actor who made the film Unlawful Killing, and apart from every now and then in the Daily Mail, nobody has really challenged the ludicrous circumstances around the death of her and why she was murdered. So I don't know. So if you watched that programme last night on Channel 4 and you've got a different take on it than me, and if you believe that she was some sort of threat to the establishment and to the royal family, let me know. Tweet me. It's at Richie Allen Show. richie@richieallen.co.uk. 28 minutes to the top of the air. Going to take a quick break. Back with a headline roundup for you and more chat in a minute and maybe a little bit more music. Good to be with you.
Have you heard of the potential healing power of CBD and non-psychoactive strain from cannabis? At Indoka, our mission is to show everyone how incredible CBD is. Each month, you can win $1,000 worth of our CBD products, plus everyone who enters will receive a beginner's guide to CBD cannabidiol. Our products are 100% organic, lab-tested and legal. For your chances of winning and special discounts on our range of CBD products, just visit offers.indoka.com/Richie Allen. That's offers.endoca.com/Richie Allen. Indoka, unlocking the secrets of nature.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Welcome back to the program. Faisal makes a very good point about Diana and landmines. He says there was her campaign against landmines, which was a big problem for the military-industrial complex. He's absolutely spot on to say that. And I understand, and this, we are live, so I can't research this, but I do understand, Faisal, that she'd gotten a verbal commitment, a public commitment from then-President Bill Clinton to support a global ban, or at least a campaign for a global ban on landmines, something which would have embarrassed Clinton. So help me out with that. But yes, you're absolutely right. Again, you know, you talk about JFK. There were probably several groups of people that stood to benefit if Princess Diana was murdered. But I'm not sure that she was a threat to the entire royal establishment, the, you know, the exposing of them and who they are. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I buy it, is what I'm saying. But it doesn't mean I'm right. What do I know? Chris on Twitter says, Diana said the royals, BS, were not even human. That tells a lot, though, we know already, says Chris there. Charlotte did watch the documentary and tweets, nothing really said that we didn't already know. It's an MSM storm in a teacup, probably diverting attention away from something sinister. I did make that point in conversation with a friend of mine today, Charlotte. There wasn't anything new in it. You know, I got the impression the lady was a little bit fond of herself. And she had an image of herself in her mind of being this rebel, this problem for the, you know, for the great royal family. But whether she was or not is another thing. You know, was she pregnant and all of this sort of stuff. I don't know. Maybe the landmine thing was a big deal, maybe. There's a lot to be said for that. Maybe there were other things going on as well that we don't know. Maybe she was about to tell somebody about Jimmy Savile. Maybe she was. Who knows? Who knows? I was always amazed by the huge support she had in Ireland. And when she was murdered, because she was murdered, the morning she was murdered in the small hours of the morning. That day, the subsequent day, you two were in Dublin at Lansdowne Road on the Pop Mart tour, and I was going to it. And I kid you not, there was a subdued mood around Lansdowne Road, around Jury's Hotel, Ballsbridge, where people were having a few scoops. Having a few scoops before the concert, there was a bit of a subdued mood. People did like her. And as a young Republican Irish guy who had a big interest in the history of the Republican movement in Ireland, as I did and as I do, I didn't share that interest in her. I didn't dislike her just because I was into the Republican movement. But she was an aristocrat, and she represented a very connected aristocratic family, the Spencers. And I didn't see her as this whiter than white, snow white innocent that people saw her as, is what I'm saying. Now, Jean Anne, my actress friend and colleague, says, and I think she's got a good point here, the dark doesn't like the light. And she was full of light. And you have to ask why there was such a real outpouring, which was rather odd to see, of grief when she died. Venture towards the philosophical, says Jean Anne. Yes, and I got a lot of criticism at the time. I got a lot of criticism for being very... I was aggressive. When I saw all these people lining up to put wreaths and flowers and notes at Kensington Palace and at Buckingham Palace, I was stunned by that. I was stunned, and I thought people were foolish, and I thought they were crazy, and I thought they were... Jesus, Boris Johnson got into trouble, didn't he, when he was in Liverpool some years ago talking about the outpouring of grief when Ken Bigley was murdered by Al-Qaeda, when he was beheaded. This outpouring of grief, like grief signalling, this grabbing on to this shared grief, almost kind of in a kind of an attention-seeking way. And I saw that, and I was stunned by it. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that people were wailing and moaning and keening and screaming for a woman they'd never met, that they'd only seen on television. And I was stunned by that. I really was. And I was scared by that. I was scared by those type of people. That sort of person scared me, because I thought they'd lost control of their faculties. They'd lost control of their mind. That their own, you know, some sort of shared hysteria. It's one thing to admire the woman. Oh, she met with people who had AIDS, maybe at a time when people with AIDS were still subject to stupid, ignorant, uneducated stereotypes. That was good, that. She went and met children from backgrounds, you know, war-torn backgrounds, children who'd been abandoned, sick children. And she's a woman, and she carried children herself. She was probably sincere when she was with those children. But it's one thing to admire that. It's another thing to be outpouring the sort of devastation we saw when she died. I didn't understand that. I really didn't. And we see that to this day when something happens. You know, when somebody dies, we see people on television, we see people at funerals, and I just don't get it. It's not because I'm a hard bastard. I just don't understand it. Jean Anne tells me that people instinctively knew that there was something really odd about her death. Why did the ambulance take so long to get to the hospital? For one thing, of course, absolutely right, no one thought of her as whiter than white, but she did represent something beyond being a well-born brood mare. Maybe she did. But you know, the Republican Irishman in me will always see people like her as being from the privileged, aristocratic, ruling classes. And I can never see them as anything other than that. Anyway, there you go. Strange for me a couple of years ago to see the royal family in Ireland and so many Irish people coming out to say hello to them. That kind of bothered me as well, but that's for another day. So it's 18 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Robert David Steele's a nice guy. He's having a problem. He's texted me to say so. We'll try and get him on the programme tomorrow. We're not going to get him on today. Doesn't look like it. There's not enough time anyway, because there's so much I want to speak to him about. There's a band in Sweden called The Shout Out Louds. I love them. This is a song called Blue Ice. This is very 80s. That's why I love it. It hurts when I breathe, and it hurts when I speak. You want everything I own, everything you want. I keep running away, running away, running away. You keep fading away, fading away, fading away.
keep drifting away, drifting away, drifting away. You keep fading away, fading away, fading away. It always ends in the same way. The sun gets in your eyes. I won't be surprised next time. But this blue eyes, this blue eyes came out of the blue.
Off that, eh? Blue Eyes from Shout Out Loud on the Richie Allen Show. Old Louis Mountbatten was a strange one, all right, yeah, Jane Ann. Louis Mountbatten, whom a lot of people don't believe was, while blown up by the IRA did it on behalf of the British establishment. A lot of people believe that, blamed on the Irish. We won't have Robert David Steele tonight, but we probably will have him tomorrow night. Thanks for staying with me. One or two people tweeting, why didn't you get somebody else on, Rich? Well, I don't have a producer and I don't have an editor. There isn't a booth where my producer is sitting and watching me and working on things while I'm on air. I do everything. And when you book guests for a program like this, you can't book backup guests. You just can't do that. You don't have the time. You don't have the resources. And importantly, people wouldn't go for that. No, I'm not going to be a backup, Richie. I'm not going to sit around waiting for an hour or for 45 minutes while you interview somebody. So it doesn't work like that. So you can't, you see. So every now and then, very rare. It's a very rare thing for me. I'm very lucky like that. But every now and then we lose a guest and we just reschedule them and we move on. Can't do any more than that. It's exactly 13 minutes to the top of the hour. Let me ask you this. Be Jesus. The Mail and a few other papers covered the story of this German girl who was captured by the Iraqi army, wasn't she? It was the Iraqi army, wasn't it? She apparently ran away from Germany to join ISIS to become a jihadi bride. And the story goes, she's a very innocent-looking, very fresh-faced young girl. She's all over the papers today and yesterday. The story is she was groomed online and was seduced into rushing off into the madness to become a jihadi bride. Does anybody buy this stuff? What I mean by that is, are we being asked to believe the ludicrous? Is it conceivable that a young girl can be online? Now, apparently this girl converted to Islam some time ago, a couple of years ago. Let me bring up the story there for you. German ISIS bride. What did we do before the internet? I type and talk, I multitask. German ISIS bride. Yeah, the Independent. ISIS bride's capture footage. ISIS bride's capture footage emerges as she faces the death penalty in Iraq. I mean, she looks very young, this girl. Very young girl. There's a horrible video of her looking very scared as she's taken into custody by the Iraqi army. Her name is Linda Wenzel, or Linda Wenzel, probably Wenzel. She's 16 and she left Pulsnitz, which is near Dresden, or Dresden. It's got to be Dresden or Dresden. She was groomed online by an ISIS recruiter. She flew to Istanbul. She was smuggled into Iraq. She married a Chechen fighter who was killed during the battle for Mosul. And in the film, which you've probably seen, it's been on Tinternet, she's being dragged away by Iraqi soldiers. Is it actually possible that a girl, school girl, reasonably bright, can be seduced by the dark side and can rush off to Istanbul to meet these nutters? Is it possible that she didn't see the abundance of material online of these psychotic lunatics cutting people in pieces, shooting people, burning people to death, and all the other gruesome executions that they've dreamed up? They must have watched those old episodes of Batman back in the 60s, these ridiculous execution scenarios they devised, these horrible bastards. Could it be that these people genuinely believe there's a future for them with these ISIS fuckers, for want of a better word? And yet, all the newspapers run with the story as if it's, yeah. Nobody seems to be surprised that she was 16 and off she went to Istanbul, and then she was smuggled into Iraq, married a Chechen fighter. She was presumably raped. Now, The Independent, amongst other newspapers, are saying that she might be executed for this. However, she'd be kept in jail until she was 22, because you can't be executed before age 22, whatever bloody rule, whatever law this is. German's foreign ministry are saying that their diplomats have been to Baghdad to visit two women, including Linda. And that's it. But I just find it bizarre that it's just reported in such a matter-of-fact way that she left the country because she was groomed online. Are we buying this? Do you think it's possible to groom somebody online to get them to come out to the country when she must know what these guys are doing to women and to anybody who opposes their ludicrous Salafist mad ideology? I just don't. It's just insane to me. It really is. And it's just published, you know, and it was the talk of the breakfast programmes today and yesterday. You know, how did she get out there? You know, how did the parents not know? How did the parents not know? I don't know. You know, is somebody playing mind games with this? Is this all about shutting down, you know, the internet, privatising the internet? I just can't believe it. Can't believe that a girl could be so gullible as to follow these idiots out there and end up married to one of them, then end up in Iraq, captured by the Iraqi military, and now to be facing the death penalty. I can't buy it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. At Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. Just to remind you, Tina Louise Rothery will be on the programme tomorrow. We might have Robert David Steele. I'll have to get assurances from Robert that he will be airtight in terms of his connectivity tomorrow, because we can't have this again. Coming up later on in the week, Stephen Lenman. Got some other really good, exciting things happening later on in the week. Not yet confirmed, but I think I'll be able to confirm tomorrow. Like I said, do follow the programme on social media. Yeah. Facebook. Go to facebook.com/The Richie Allen Show. That's facebook.com/The Richie Allen Show. Back with you probably to wrap up in a minute.
Have you heard of the potential healing power of CBD and non-psychoactive strain from cannabis? At Indoka, our mission is to show everyone how incredible CBD is. Each month, you can win $1,000 worth of our CBD products, plus everyone who enters will receive a beginner's guide to CBD cannabidiol. Our products are 100% organic, lab-tested and legal. For your chances of winning and special discounts on our range of CBD products, just visit offers.indoka.com/Richie Allen. That's offers.endoca.com/Richie Allen. Indoka, unlocking the secrets of nature.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer, designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Right. I've heard from Robert. We're going to do this again tomorrow in the second hour of the program. It'll be watertight, I'm told, by Robert. So, good stuff. Shit happens, as you know. And when shit happens, you've got to roll with the punches. Good shout, Jean Ann. Let me give a little plug to the books of the late, great Jim Mars. Maria mentioned one of them earlier on. She mentioned Crossfire, of course. Wonderful read. Alien Agenda. Rise of the Fourth Reich. An amazing book. Population Control. And Trillion Dollar Conspiracy is on the subject of money, because it's one of the only books I've ever read that has dealt exclusively with the money system, the Fed, central banking. I can't recommend Trillion Dollar Conspiracy enough. Jim was a great guy. I'm not going to say any more about Jim. Spoke about him in Sunday View yesterday. I don't mean in the future. Of course, we'll talk about Jim in the future. But for today, we'll leave it anyway. Big thanks to Maria for coming on in the first hour. Sorry you didn't get to hear Robert. The subject he is talking about is huge. Huge, and it's important we get him on to talk about it. He will do it tomorrow. He will join me along with Tina Louise Rothery. That's tomorrow, Tuesday, at the usual time. You can do me a favour, my friend. Please visit the websites and spend some time with our sponsors, because when you engage with our sponsors, it does help the future of the Richie Allen Show. So please do that. It's important to us that you do, and only if you can. Do pop over to paypal.me, that's paypal.me for me, paypal.me/Richie Allen, and make a contribution to the programme. Only if you are in a position to do so. If you're not, don't give it a second thought. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping me company. Sorry you had to listen to me drone on in the second hour, but circumstances conspired and I couldn't do anything about that. So I'm going to leave you with some Prince, because I've been thinking about Prince today. And I don't know why that is, but I've been thinking about him. This is Prince. I love you and leave you. Thanks to Aaron. Big thanks to Simon Stewart for all the YouTube work. Thanks to you for listening. Look after yourselves and one another. This is Sign of the Times from Prince. Until tomorrow at 7, it's bye from me. Bye now. Bye. Oh, yeah.
By chance, his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home, there were 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby cause she couldn't afford to feed it. It was sending people to the moon. In September my cousin tried reefer for the very first time.